Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I don't get enough sleep on a normal day. And then yesterday, getting that 2 hours, and hey, somehow we survived it. Well, there were so much good news to talk about yesterday on the show, so much good news to talk about today on the show that, hey, 2 hours of sleep, drive on. We're not in a war zone, so 2 hours of sleep. You can do, if you can do 2 hours of sleep in a war zone and still somehow make it, we can do 2 hours of sleep back here in Montana after a great election day. Man, you know, I was writing some stories for our Montana Talks website last night, just a couple of interesting kind of random things that I thought I would throw up there from the election, because everybody already heard. Yeah, I could have gone and written a big summary. Here's who won all the elections in Montana, but we already told you yesterday morning. So at 6 o'clock at night last night, did everybody really need to get a rundown of who won? You'd already seen, you'd already heard. So there was a couple of interesting things. One, I did a write-up about Blaine County, Montana. Blaine County, Montana. Chinook is the county seat. The Chinook Sugar Beaters, of course. And they did it again. They voted for the president. They basically ended up predicting who the president would be. 25 out of 27 elections, apparently, they've done this. I was reading that article from the Blaine County Journal. But yeah, so I did a little write-up for fun on that one. And then that reminded me, while I was driving through Big Timber, I was talking with a friend, and he ran the numbers for me. He said, you know, I wanted to go look and see if John Tester lost his home county, and if so, by how much. I think there was only one election where John Tester actually carried his home county. If I'm not mistaken, I think there was only one, maybe none, but I think there was only one election where he actually carried his home county for the United States Senate. Of course, John Tester losing to Navy SEAL veteran and Republican Senate candidate Tim Sheehy, who I know is going to join us later this morning on the show. So I went and pulled up the numbers, and I just tweeted it out here so that I could find it again really quickly for you here. John Tester lost his home county by 12 points. Tim Sheehy with 55% of the vote to John Tester's 43% of the vote. You guys remember when we were in Big Sandy back in August? Heck, Richard in Jordan even came, brought his nice family, got to meet his nice family there, and there were so many folks there. It was such a great time. We had Norma Ashby Smith and Dwight. They came up from Great Falls and then met with a bunch of their friends from Big Sandy. And we were telling you, man, the people in Big Sandy, they did not support Liberal Senator John Tester. And not to rub it in at this point now that the election's over, but yeah, there you go. That is an interesting number right there with John Tester losing his home county by 12 points. All right, what are some other interesting things that have stood out and the big news of the day? We'll jump right into it here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk, the show where you help save America with your phone calls, with your messages, more importantly, with your actions and with your work out there, getting involved, not just in an election year, but now when the real work begins.
Securing America.
Lieutenant General Douglas Schess, commander for the U.S. Space Force, participated in a conversation with the Mitchell Institute for Aerospace Studies Wednesday, during which he described the challenges the Space Force faces.
There are many adversaries out there that are using space to be able to put our navies, our armies, and our air forces at risk.
First and foremost on that list is China.
China is rapidly launching a kill web to be able to target our maritime forces, our air forces, and just about any of our forces, and put them at risk at a much greater distance than they were in the past.
Not far behind China, General Schess says, is Russia.
There's talk of them having a nuclear capability in space, and so they are ratcheting up their capabilities to hold us at risk in the space domain.
The general also says we have to defend our own space assets. Jim Buretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today. High temperature readings will range from the upper 40s in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Staying clear and quiet tonight, upper 20s and low 30s. And then the outlook for Friday calls for sunshine. High at about 52 in Bozeman, with highs around 60 expected in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You think our...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you talk about John Tester losing his home county by 12 points. This was one of the questions I was, this was kind of another question I had last night. How many points did John Tester lose by in Yellowstone County? Do you guys remember a few days ago, I think it was last week sometime on this show, it was, we were in the middle of our 9:20 break in our statewide show, and all of a sudden, the great Paul Mushaven opens up the studio door. He says, "Hey, Aaron, have you seen this? Have you seen this report?" And it was when he brought in the hard copy of the Yellowstone County News. And Evan with the Yellowstone County News had this great report talking about all the money that John Tester has been spending at the Bistro Cacao in Washington, D.C. in the last year or so. And anyway, so Paul Mushaven brings us in. He's like, "Hey, have you seen this?" And I'm like, "Man, I'm just about to come back out on the air." I said, "Paul, why don't you come in here, sit down, you know, throw on the microphone, throw on the headset here." And so thankfully he did. And so anyway, Paul Mushaven comes in here and we had a great chat talking about the election. And then I remember we were talking and I said, "You know, our statewide audience may not know this because, you know, in the 9 o'clock hour, that's when we're on, and Glendive, Plentywood, Lewistown, all over the state." And so but I know our Billings area listeners would know this because they've been listening to the Breakfast Flakes on the country station for 30 plus years. They listen to Montana Talk, so they would know this, that you know, you've got some of these politicians that refuse to come on shows like this, refuse to take phone calls. I think you're gonna watch how some of them are gonna be desperately wanting to be on shows like this more often now. They refuse to stop down the hall and see Mark and Paul. And then we were talking at the time. I said, "Heck, I didn't even realize like John Tester wouldn't even go across town and sit down on other radio shows. Like Kurt Anthony has music stations, and." That's typically a friendly format or an environment for any political candidate to pop in on, because typically the music stations just want to have fun and catch up with you. And John Tester was so petty and his team was so petty that he not only refused to come to, you know, shows like this and take your phone calls, he refused to go stop in. Never once did he ever stop in and see the Breakfast Flakes in his 30 or so years in political office. And he wouldn't even go see guys like Kurt Anthony. He would go see, of course, the liberal guys at the top 40 station. And they're good guys. They're characters. But anyway, so I was thinking about this. I was like, how bad did John Tester lose in Yellowstone County? Because you remember back in 2020, you had Senator Steve Daines up for re-election, his first re-election effort as a United States senator. You had Steve Bullock was the Democrat in the race, who was the sitting governor. He had been the governor for two terms. He had been governor for 8 years. Before that, he was the attorney general. So for 12 years, that guy had held statewide office. And yet he lost Yellowstone County by 16 points. But you might say, well, Senator Steve Daines was, you know, an incumbent senator and Trump was on the ballot. So, of course, Senator Steve Daines did really well against a big name, you know, Democrat. Man, I went and checked the numbers yesterday. This was something else that I tweeted out here about 15 hours ago. Look at that. Sheehy beat Tester by 16 points in Yellowstone County. I should go check the updated numbers. Let me pull up the Secretary of State's website just so I can see if those numbers have shifted in the last 14, 15 hours or so here. Let's see election results. Let's click on Yellowstone County here. We're doing it live. We're clicking. Let's see. Yeah, you guys do the math for me. I did go to journalism school after all. Tim Sheehy with 57% of the vote in Yellowstone County to John Tester's 41% of the vote. That's a huge margin in Yellowstone County. So anyway, I say all that to say, Gal, it was so nice to come in this morning. Yesterday, we had a great time. So cool doing our live show from the Rockin' R Bar in Bozeman. What a great time, man. It was like election night party number two at the Rockin' R yesterday morning. We had so many friends, so many great politicos and others that came down to see us, many whom joined us on the radio and others who just came down to say hi. So many great listeners that came down to say hi. But I'll tell you what, it was fun walking in this morning and seeing our producer, Travis, here, who's worked so hard over these past 7 years or so, and to come back, be back in studio, not have to set up all the remote broadcast equipment. But it was so fun to, you know, grab my cup of coffee and walk past the Breakfast Flake studio and see Mark Wilson in there and say, Mark, good job. Great job. Good effort. You got it done. And to say the same thing to Paul Mushaven and say the same thing to all of you out there, especially in Yellowstone County with a 16-point margin of victory to stand up for this country, to give this country another fighting chance to make America great again, because, you know, it can't just be one man. We can't just expect Donald J. Trump to do all the work for us. And Montana has now delivered. And now we expect this newly elected Congress, this newly elected Senate, et cetera, to deliver as well. And I think we're going to see some very good things here come January. Anyway, let's see. What all are we going to talk about here this morning? Hey, we can take your phone calls. I've got a bunch of great messages that have come in on the Montana Talks app just in the past few minutes. And we got some fun audio to share for you as well. The ladies on The View. Boy, what are they? What kind of crazy stuff are they saying now? Well, we've got several options to share with you on that front. Jesse Waters had an incredible segment last night talking about how not only did Trump win the presidency, but he killed the DEI agenda. And then Travis had a great montage ready for yesterday.
This is House Call for Health. A new government study reveals cases of diabetes are on the rise in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data finds nearly one in six adults has diabetes. That's 16% of the population. Most of the cases are type 2 diabetes. The report also shows men are more prone to the blood sugar disease than women. It also finds about 4.5% of adult Americans aren't even aware they have diabetes. Data also shows the risk of developing type 2 is strongly linked to obesity and increasing age. The new data was collected from mid-2021 through mid-2023 and appears in the NCHS data brief. And while we're on the topic, a different study published in Scientific Reports finds regular physical activity helps to slow the aging of those with type 2 diabetes, and that the optimal amount of physical activity per week is 594 minutes. That's just over 1 hour and 20 minutes per day. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will range from the upper 40s in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Staying clear and quiet tonight, upper 20s and low 30s. And then the outlook for Friday calls for sunshine, high at about 52 in Bozeman, with highs around 60 expected in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, on the heels of Tuesday's election, several agriculture-related groups on Wednesday congratulated President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance while detailing a list of priorities they would like to see passed in a Trump-Vance administration. And these include passing a new farm bill, potentially as early as the lame duck session of Congress, as well as passing disaster assistance for farmers and ranchers. Another key priority, passing a tax package in 2025 to avoid potential tax hikes. Modernizing the H-2A migrant worker program to help ensure farmers and ranchers have the labor they need. Approving year-round E-15 nationally. Resetting regulations passed under the Biden administration, such as livestock competition rules. And repealing EPA's power plant rule to help boost rural power production. However, the groups avoided mentioning Trump's support for tariffs when it comes to trade, and they didn't address some of the goals set by Trump supporter Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has called for overhauling regulations on pesticides and processed food products. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Cattlemen, it's time for the Green Mountain Angus 51st Annual Fall Production Sale. They're offering 220 yearling Angus bulls along with 50 age advantage bulls from herd sires like Flagstone, Architect, and Armstrong. Included in the offering are 100 bred heifers. There's free wintering plus that famous Green Mountain Angus first breeding season guarantee. Proven and reliable Cavendish genetics. Green Mountain Angus sale Monday, November 11th, 1 o'clock at their new sale location, Public Auction Yards, Billings, Montana. For all the details, visit greenmountainangus.com. Winter is coming, and now's the perfect time to ensure your John Deere equipment is ready for the next season. From sprayers to mowers, a professional winter inspection can save you time and money down the road. At CMB, our expert technicians will thoroughly inspect and service your equipment to keep it in top shape. Don't let winter downtime catch you unprepared. Schedule your winter inspection today and be ready to hit the ground running come spring. Contact us now to secure your spot. CMB, your trusted John Deere partner all year round. Well, low crop prices have certainly taken a toll on growers this year, and that has become evident when looking at loan data. The Kansas City Fed shows commercial banks have backed 40% more loans to farmers over the past year, and they're also taking out higher dollar amounts. For the first time in 20 years, loans over $1 million make up the majority of lending. And the Fed says the loans were issued mainly through small and mid-sized lenders, underscoring the hurt right now for smaller family operations. And finally this morning, fans of American Wool can turn to AmericanWool.org's revamped shop page to get a jump start on their holiday shopping. AmericanWool.org is a consumer-facing website of the American Sheep Industry Association's Wool Council. It's easier than ever, they say, for consumers to discover and support products made with American Wool. Featuring more than 50 brands, the new shop page gives users full control over their shopping experience with new filter options to search by product type or category, ensuring that they're able to find exactly what they need. Uncover brands that embody the spirit of American craftsmanship through their commitment to using premium, homegrown American wool. Check it out at AmericanWool.org. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Jay in Billings just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. John Tester losing his home county. He lost support in a small community of farmers and ranchers, a community where he had been farming and building barns for three generations. That says a lot. Honestly, the subterfuge and lies, trading his loyalty for promises of power, it obviously has consequences. Anyway, Jay, thanks for that message. Let's see. Before I want to play this montage that Travis had ready to roll for us yesterday on the show that I didn't get a chance to play because I wanted to hear it myself. We were, scrambling all morning long with great coverage, great content. And again, big thanks to John Jackson, the Joker from X, for manning the fort back here in the studio while I was out remotely at the Rockin' R bar yesterday morning as well. Greatly appreciate his help. And big thanks to the whole crew at the Rockin' R, Jonathan and everybody else, for getting us in there early and hosting us. That was a great time. But before I get to the montage here, though, we got a caller on the phone lines. Steve in Ballantyne, good to hear from you.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
What a great day. What a great day yesterday.
Amen.
But anyway, I listened to that concession speech of hers. And wasn't it like three weeks ago they said they weren't going to hit Trump wins, they're not going to certify him, they're going to all play hardball? Well, that concession speech was basically a word salad speech. I mean, you couldn't hardly understand anything. And the only thing that you could understand that she said, three times, is going to be a peaceful transition. She kept wanting to say that, like they're not, her followers, wherever she's at, some college, they were just sitting there just roaring and clapping their hands. But, so she's going to do a peaceful transition. Now, do you think that's going to go down?
Well, so far, I mean, I think that's the beauty. The one piece of show prep that I left in front of me from the pre-election coverage that was still here in our studio is this headline from thefederalist.com. The best thing for America would be a Donald Trump blowout. And that's, of course, what we got. Not just a Donald Trump blowout, but a Republican blowout with picking up the Senate and likely holding on to the House as well. So I think that should quell, most of the unrest and the violence that I think a lot of these left-wing activists had planned and were ready to roll out. And this was such a big victory on Tuesday that I think that is quelling most of it. But no, I think you're still going to see elements of the resist movement. I mean, heck, Ryan Bussey, the Democrat candidate for governor, that was like the one thing he tweeted out as he got trounced in Tuesday's election. He tweeted out one word, resist. So the left-wing nut jobs, oh yeah, they're going to still do whatever they can. But I think by and large, even the liberal media has realized like, oh man, we got trounced. We got absolutely trounced here. In fact, I got a great audio clip from Charlemagne, the black radio host who was very pro Kamala Harris. I love what he had to say following the election results. Steve, thanks for the call. Travis had this montage ready to roll yesterday morning because, normally I'll wake up very early. I'll wake up typically about the time I went to bed yesterday is when I will actually wake up. And so I'll send him a bunch of different audio clips to snag for the show or whatever. And then he'll find some interesting stuff as well. But yesterday it's like, okay, yeah, I needed to get some sleep from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. and get whatever sleep I could before we kicked off our election day after show from the Rockin' R's. But this was a montage of these liberal media pundits predicting a Kamala Harris victory. This should be fun.
In my humble view, lights out.
Please welcome back the next president of the United States.
I think it's going to be a blowout, actually. I don't think it's going to be a close race. I think there are going to be those Republicans who just vote for Harris.
It'll be tied on election day. As always, it will. The polls will be tied, and then he'll lose.
You call us trash? Oh, Jamie Vance, you just stepped up in a way that I've never seen in my political life, and I worked for Sarah Palin.
Then I would say take Harris over 270 electoral votes. Let these fools in these crypto markets do something. Let them drive the betting line into a favorable place and then take advantage of it. That's what I would do. I think she's going to win.
This month, you wrote Trump is toast. Do you stand behind that today?
Oh, even more so. I feel the same way that I felt a few weeks ago that Trump is toast.
That was funny. I think that was James Carville in there, who is
who is saying, oh, yeah, Kamala Harris, she's got this. And then now James Carville is pretending to be Mr. Expert and calling out all the big mistakes that doomed Harris's presidential bid. So now, the guy who got the big prediction wrong is pretending to be the big expert. Nancy in Roundup next up on the phone lines. What's going on, Nancy?
Well, good morning, patriots, and God bless America, and thank you all for voting against communism. Yesterday was an extremely emotional morning for me, and Aaron, I have a question for you and also a comment today. You know, I'm curious. Yesterday, you and Steve from Savage, Tim from Savage, were so excited, and so was I. I'd like to know what foods were served and what drinks were served at the Tim Sheehy rally there for his success in the
election. Question.
And I'm telling you, I was so emotional yesterday, I just couldn't stand it. And I still am today. And I just want to make some comments here. It seems like President Trump is going to choose Arkansas Senator Steve Cotton to replace Antony Blinken for our Secretary of Defense. And I don't know, I just can't hardly talk today. I mean, I am so emotional because...
Well, I'll tell you what,
Our country has a second chance.
That's right. Hold that thought, Nancy. I got to hit the hard break here, but I'll come back to you because I know you've got something you want to communicate because you've been on this since day one. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know what? I want to go back to Nancy here because Nancy has been on this administration since day one. Think about it. For the last 3+ years, the last 3.5 years, the last nearly 4 years, she has been just sounding the alarm, sounding the trumpets about the devastation being caused by this administration in Washington, D.C. And so, Nancy, first off, I'm so glad that you are just so joyful following this great election victory. What else did you want to share, Nancy?
Well, Aaron, thank you so much. I am a patriot, and I can't tell you how much I love our country and our military. And I'm telling you, I was just overwhelmed yesterday with emotion with the election of President Trump. And I see a future for us and the youth of our country. I see a future for them as well. And I want to thank both you and Travis Lee for Montana Talks because you have given us a voice as patriots and Americans. And I love you forever, Aaron. You and Travis Lee, I just love you as my brother.
Oh, you're too kind.
And everyone else. And I am just so overwhelmed with happiness and patriotism. And to the Vietnam veteran who called the other morning, he said, I fought against communism. We have a communist running for a president, and I want to tell him God heard you, and he righted a wrong, and Donald J. Trump is our president, and God bless. I just can't tell you how thankful I am that Donald J. Trump is now our president, and I don't know, I could go on and on today,
I hear you. Well, we can hear the passion and the emotion in your voice, and I know it's the sense of relief that so many Montanans and so many Americans felt. Nancy, God bless you. Thank you so much. And that's exactly right. Thanks be to God for this election. I know so many of you believe that. Not everybody believes that, but I know that's something I share. I know that's something that our friend David Noble shares. And David, David Noble in the house here early. Good to see you. What did you do? 10 hours of live streaming on election day.
I was just looking at my YouTube video that I put up to 10 hours and 40 minutes. It's the longest live stream I've ever done. I went live at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon or 5 or 6, whatever. Didn't stop until 2, 3, 4 in the morning. So I got the entire 10-hour and 40-minute live stream of election night. It's just me watching the election returns and providing a little commentary here and there. 10 hours of it. So maybe someday when I'm old, when I'm in my 80s, I can go back and I can do 10 hours and relive election night 2024.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. It would have been fun to have you in Bozeman for the election night party there, to have you live streaming from that. Because it was just to capture everything that was taking place. Because I sent out a bunch of tweets from what I was seeing and hearing and everything like that. Did you see my tweet? I love this story so much because this guy, Evan Wilson, is such an incredible man. Evan Wilson, the Billings Senior High grad, the son of the late Dr. Craig Wilson, who used to head up the Poli Sci department at MSU Billings. He's a Grizz grad
I did see your tweet, but I did not see it before, within the hour where you had called it before the networks.
Okay.
I saw it, but not within that hour. I wish I had, because I'd have been, hey, if you're paying attention to Aaron Flint and Evan Wilson, this is the guys to listen to right here. They're saying he's won Pennsylvania. That was awesome. Good job. Congrats to you and Evan Wilson. And obviously, look, there's a lot to be said about who was right and who was wrong and who was saying the things that, and who is Montana behind, and what a great call from Nancy and Roundup. Love that call. It's so powerful to hear that. And you know what I love to hear about her call too, and it's something that I've been thinking about a lot too, is we now have a future for our country and an opportunity. And I was thinking about this last night. Are we really at a situation where we may actually take a dent out of the corruption in DC? So for example, all of us Americans have known for a long time that you've got regulatory capture with the big pharmaceutical companies at the FDA and DP. And let's be honest, most of us have just kind of felt, look, it's the corruption in DC is so bad, the swamp is so bad, the pharmaceutical companies are so powerful. Like you're never gonna actually remove the big, powerful, rich special interest groups from DC. But now we've got Donald Trump going in there with RFK Jr. So, I mean, is this really possible? Is this really possible?
Not only that, but Elon Musk, where he's talking about, hey, I will go in and I will find all of the waste in this government and identify all. He's going to go like Javier Milei on these clowns and say, cut this, cut that, cut this, cut that. One of my favorite memes that was tweeted out by the Trump War Room was the photo of Javier Milei hugging Donald Trump like an excited kid who just met his hero, his childhood hero, hugging him, and the excitement on Javier Milei's face because of what Javier Milei has done down in Argentina. You know, they were getting just hammered with inflation and all-out socialism down there, and then Milei for the victory. But David and I were talking about this during the break. I want to play this now because we can talk more about it in the 7 o'clock hour as well. But anyway, DEI is dead. Now, they're going to keep trying to push this stuff, but we want to talk about how basically Donald Trump's victory was not just a victory for, you know, the White House and for so many things, but basically this was such a big victory that it sends the message out there across America that this DEI, this woke garbage, needs to die. DEI so, needs to D-I-E die.
Right? So, Aaron, I'm curious. Were you right, Aaron, that girls in women's sports is this huge issue, that all the people cared about it, that was a driving issue that you covered from day one? Or was that the sleeper issue, as the mainstream media likes to call it?
Well, I call it a sleeper issue because it's one of those things that's kind of under the radar. I still think the border and inflation were the big issue, but I think the men and women's sports was the sleeper issue. I would use maybe that's not the right language, but I think that's the language I use too, because I think it was just one of those ones.
But for somebody like me who wakes up every morning listening to you, and I'm not spending my time watching the mainstream media, reading the mainstream. For me, that was not a sleeper issue. That was like one of the most important issues. Because of course, John Tester, he's obviously a Democrat and was with the Biden administration, but he's pretending. What's so interesting about this too is, okay, so Democrats would love to do a postmortem. Democrats would love to say, hey, why did we lose? How can we fix it? But they can't do that because they ran fraudulent, dishonest campaigns. How could John Tester and Kamala Harris have an honest conversation about what happened in this election and how can they change things when they ran fraudulent scam campaigns pretending to be moderates? Now, if they had run outwardly as we're socialists, we're communists, we're Marxists, we hate America, we want men and girls sports, we want open borders. If they had been honest with us and then they had gotten defeated, like, then they could have an honest postmortem. Then they could have, but yeah. How can they have an honest postmortem when they ran dishonest campaigns?
That's a great point. Here's one soundbite that I think I'll try to get to in the 7 o'clock hour. So I think it was it the ladies on The View, Travis, that were saying this, or was it one of our other soundbites here? But they were, it may be another soundbite, but they were lecturing, maybe it was the CNN panel, but they were lecturing white women for not showing up for Kamala Harris. Well, why would white women not show up for Kamala Harris? They thought abortion was going to drive white women to vote for Harris. Why would white women not vote for Kamala Harris? The women's sports thing. The, hey, and white women have boys and girls as kids.
Those are husbands.
They're husbands.
They have dads, yeah.
And they don't want their boys treated evil in an evil manner just because they happen to be white boys, and they don't want their girls to be denied opportunities because a boy wants to pretend to be a girl. Anyway, let's get to a phone call here. Oh, it was Sonny Hostin on The View who was lecturing white women, Travis tells us. So I'll play that clip here coming up as well. But first, let's go to Tom in Billings on the phone lines. Tom, what's your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. My thoughts are, we can't really rest on our laurels. I love Donald Trump. I'm glad everything went the way it is. I heard Jack Smith is winding down his prosecution on Donald Trump. But what about Judge Marchand? We're waiting for a sentence. Is he literally going to sentence a president-elect, or is he going to just drop the case?
That's a great question. So, yeah, David, you probably saw this. The Daily Wire reporting how the DOJ is getting rid of Jack Smith before Trump takes office. They're dropping all these federal cases against Trump. The state stuff should all go away as well. I think former AG Bill Barr, who's a critic of Trump's, is saying that he believes all those state cases should and maybe will go away as well. But let's look at Montana. This absurd attack against lawfare against Attorney General Austin Knutson should also just completely disappear.
Well, I took that story as basically proof positive that all that lawfare was purely political. Well, I mean, when you literally do it all year long and you say, we're doing this for justice.
No one's above the law.
And then the election's over. Oh, the election's over? We're stopping now. We're stopping. What a joke.
We realize we just helped him this entire time by the lawfare against him. So, we're just going to wrap it up. There was never about the law. It was never about justice. It was always about politics. Tim and Billings coming up right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Here's the next thing I want to say to all of you. I want to say thank you. The stated policies of Kamala Harris, and I have nothing against her personally, and she has conceded this race. I want to thank all of you for taking the blessings of liberty, the blessing of this great constitutional republic and our constitutional right to vote, and taking the time to be educated and casting a vote to stop what is the single most radical, extreme stated agenda of any presidential candidate I can think of in American history. It would have been a disaster, a predictable disaster.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
What credit card is in your wallet, and do you know what causes they may support? I sat down recently with Rob Collins, CEO of the values-based Coin credit card. You spell Coin COIGN. Now, Coin welcomes smart consumers with shared values, not a corporation supporting extreme left-wing agendas. And the Visa-backed Coin credit card is accepted everywhere they accept Visa. There's no annual fee. You're going to be proud to pull it out of your wallet or your purse. You can even use it from your mobile phone. It's that simple. Now, Coin gives back a percentage of every purchase on the Coin card to nonprofits that share and support your values. As a card member, you get to vote on which charity will get the money. And Coin has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Here's the bottom line. Get woke out of your wallet and earn cash back on every purchase. Go to Coin, COIGN.com. Apply today. That's Coin, COIGN.com. And select Hannity in the drop-down menu. Check out Coin.com today.
Hey. This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A government's getting smarter about the economy? Take the issue of price controls for energy. Some of us are old enough to remember the 70s when price controls were just one of many, many bad economic policies we pursued. There were controls on gasoline prices even before the Arab oil embargo pushed oil prices up by a factor of five. Remember lines of cars trying to buy gas? It was an ugly situation. It might have happened again in Germany just a few years ago when the Russians cut off deliveries of natural gas in protest of German sanctions caused by the Ukrainian war. With winter done just ahead, many predicted shortages and a deep recession. Instead, the government let prices alone, although they did give generous lump-sum payments to households to help compensate for the impact on their budgets. And at the same time, they plunged full speed into fast-tracking liquefied natural gas terminal construction to increase their capacity to import from elsewhere. Those policies, plus a little luck from the form of a milder winter, helped Germany survive. I'm Patrick Barkey.
To get started, that's REXMD.com. Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
On Joycey in Rockville, hey, definitely stand by because I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say. Tim and Billings called in first, so let's sneak them on here. Tim, what's your thoughts? Great to hear from you. Happy post-election day.
Good morning, gentlemen. Two of my favorite guys in the world. Really quick, there's a meme going around by Zero Hedge where it shows a bar graph of the numbers voted, and 2020 is quite an anomaly in the Democratic vote compared to the previous two in this election, and people might want to check that out and wonder if there might have been something fishy going on in 2020. But I saw a perspective that I really agree with is that President Trump, I'm glad that he lost the way that he lost in the last election and he won this one, because for one, he had nothing but obstruction from the Senate. He had nothing but obstruction from the Democrats in the House and the squishy Republicans. And he would have got nothing done other than be impeached 1,000 more times and just would have got nothing done other than had a fight on his hands every day of his life.
Yeah, other than the executive actions. No, you're exactly right. That's why a majority, no matter how slim that majority might be, is still so important. Tim, thanks for the call. Let's sneak on Joycey in Rockville. Joycey, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts this morning?
Well, I'm calling about the comments about how white women vote. I am a white woman, and I don't vote based on what color somebody is. I don't vote based on whether I'm a soccer mom or not. I don't vote based on my social little heart that's going pitter-patter over this poor person or that poor person. Oh, my goodness, so soft. You know, I vote with my blinking brain. I don't vote with my ovaries. I don't vote for a woman because she's a woman. I use my brain. I look at the policies of each individual running, and I compare to whether that's the best for Montana, best for the United States, and the best for my family. I'm not some idiot poo-foo who's walking around doing whatever my husband or my daddy tells me to vote for. And this continual commentary, white women, you know, they're going to vote for a woman. White women, they're so soft-hearted, they're going to vote Democrat. White women, they're going to... No, we are educated, we are smart, we have brains. And I am proud to say I voted straight Republican.
Yeah, amen. Sunny Hostin would not be pleased. She would throw you off the set of The View in a heartbeat, Joycey.
That's because she's got a hormone problem. Actually, lots of men.
Joycey, it's so great to hear from you.
I'm sorry she's brainwashed. I'm sorry if she doesn't know how to use her brain. But if she would turn it on and use it, she would have a whole different perspective.
Yeah, well, hey, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Great to hear from you, Joycey. What a great phone call.
That was a fantastic phone call. Well said. I think the sentiment that she just set forth is very, very common. And you're seeing a ton of it with Latinos as well. And the Democrats.
And black voters.
And black voters. And I'm seeing all of these tweets out there where the Democrats are tweeting out, I cannot, you know, white liberals, rich white liberals tweeting out, I can't believe Latino men, majority. By the way, Latino men are now a Republican demographic. Latino men are Republicans now. That is a Republican demographic. Trump won a majority.
You kind of look like a Latino man with your outfit and your cool big guy beard going right now, by the way.
Always, so. Yeah. Actually, and if I shave it into a mustache, you know, I'll definitely look Latino. When I was in Turkey, people actually thought I was like Arab Turkey.
I can see that. Yeah.
The dark beard.
David Noble, the international man of mystery.
But the Democrats have to stop categorizing people by their race and their skin color and their sex and then demanding that you vote a certain way based on that. And it's like, hey, why did white women vote for Trump? Inflation. Why did Latino men vote for Trump? Inflation. Why did black men vote for Trump? Inflation. Democrats, get it through your head.
And that's where Jesse Waters talked about last night. So maybe I'll start the 7 o'clock hour with that clip. He says not only should DEI be dead now with the victory of Trump, but identity politics itself should be dead because it's starting to die. Anyway, that'll be a great clip we'll play for you coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. November is a great time to hunt for bargains. After all, it's Black Friday month, and the single-day sales event seems to get stronger every year. Some items that are best to buy during November, according to NerdWallet, include electronics. Look for markdowns on TVs, tablets, laptops, gaming systems, smartwatches, and smartphones, all at the usual places. Amazon, Walmart, Best Buy, Target, and Costco between now and Black Friday. This month, also check out deals for vacuum cleaners with many models from Dyson, Shark, and more on sale during Black Friday events. And also be on the lookout for great deals on popular coffee maker brands this month, especially on Black Friday. And don't forget about Veterans Day. The holiday doesn't pack the same shopping punch of Black Friday, but you might be able to save a buck or two if you served or have served in the military. Ask for special discounts at stores, restaurants, and even barber shops. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News. Thank you.